I also would like to welcome all of you in the precious name of our beloved Lord and Savior. In particular, all those who have come from the neighboring countries, who have traveled long distances to be here. Today we have visit from Poland, from the Czech Republic, from Slovakia, yes, Italy, Switzerland, Austria, Belgium, Holland, France, from the countries of Africa. And whom did we forget? Our brethren from the Ukraine were already mentioned, were already introduced. We are very grateful to God that we can still come together to hear God's word in peace. Then we have greetings from Brother Wallström, from Copenhagen, from Brother Ellis, from Edmonton, from Brother Graf, from Switzerland, Brother Nyagi, from Nairobi, Brother Lotika, from Johannesburg, and various brothers who have phoned in, who are greeting all of us. And then very special greetings from Brother Rus. Very special greetings from Brother Rus. Both brother and sister Rus, they would have liked to be here tonight, but he's a bit weak. And now something more has happened to him, so that they cannot be here tonight. But they are joined with us. Then we have, on purpose, I brought emails with me from New Zealand, who are now listening, from Australia, who are now listening, from Canada, who are also tuned in, from the USA, who are tuned in, from the Congo, who are tuned in. Yes, actually, many are listening today. Most certainly also in Romania. Also, Brother John from Bucharest is sending greetings. We are just so grateful for this opportunity which we have to transmit the Word of God worldwide. Now, just briefly, a few dates now, which concern the general developments on this earth. Most certainly, we all heard of it, that nothing is anymore as it was. And also, it will not be anymore like that, because really, everything is coming now to its end. Then we have here the announcement from the Vatican. Catholics are the only true Church of Christ. Also not bad, huh? Then the second one, also from the Vatican. We are the temple of God. And then the vocabulary is used, Ecclesia, the called out church. Again, from Rome, very interesting news now from Rome. In very bold letters, it says here, "Come, Lord Jesus." Christians don't want the end of the world to come, but Christians want the end of all unrighteousness. And then it starts. Rome, the 12th of November, when the Christian prays, "Come, Lord Jesus," Then comes the explanation here. The subject always, the return of Jesus Christ. If one listens carefully, then it has become the subject in all the churches, in all the denominations, with all the evangelists. All are noticing that it comes now to its end. It stands out here, of course, the following now. I read now. Because before the return, there will be the apostasy. A word which we don't know so much. It means the falling away. The falling away from the faith. I read on. And which tradition will later call the Antichrist. Paul didn't explain it more. It's no better defined. That's how the Pope explains here. Also, we will not explain it more. Since we received the revelation of the Word by His grace, then nothing at all is explained anymore. It's just revealed. What gives a little bit more problems here is the sects are giving now a great risk because they interpret the Bible fundamentally. And then time and again comes the danger which comes from the sects. It becomes different here now. Mennonites are hearing Benedict 16. They're following the call for unity now. It's really like this now. As written in Revelation 17, all the daughter churches are returning into the bosom of the mother church. But the church of Jesus Christ is called out before that. She hears the last call. Also now, concerning Jerusalem now. The representatives of Judaism want to walk on with the church. Something bad happened there. But I have to write about it. The most high-ranking rabbi in Rome, he was looking for the Pope, that the name Yahweh is no more used in the liturgy. We all understood it. What is written in Amos 6, the name of the Lord, Yahweh, was not allowed to be mentioned when a dead person was carried out of the house. And this one verse, the scribes in Judaism, they misunderstood it. And they put up the doctrine that the name of the Lord may not be mentioned anymore at all. And they really, since the year 72 before Christ, they didn't use this name anymore. And they used Adonai in its stead. And that's how they are praying until today. Very sad. Be it Jew, be it Greek, be it dark or light, whoever they might be. If we don't have the revelation, then we are blind. Then we are blind. And now something comes, and with this I almost want to close now. in Rome, a Mormon temple should come up now. All the religions are finding themselves in there. And all are being influenced. And right at the end, all are under one roof. Here it says, this is a newspaper article. The birth of a new world order. The birth of a new world order. This Heinrich Himmler could formulate in the same way, 1933, in the writing of Julius Streicher. Now, coming to the point, we will not stop anything. Everything is taking its course. And we recognize that the return of Jesus Christ is really very, very near. And I also, in this year, I'm looking back to the 50 years. Most certainly, you have read it in the circular letter. The French circular is now also in printing. You can pick it up tomorrow. I looked back again to the past 50 years since I'm acquainted with the ministry of Brother Branham with a message and carrying the Word of God into all the world. Even on my last trip now through South Africa and Namibia and Swaziland, 13 times going up and landing again, going up and landing again to bring the Word of the Lord. And if I don't feel very strong in my body, yet the stronger I feel in the spirit, because I know precisely that the last message will reach and must reach the last one, and it will reach the last one. Only when the last one, wherever he or she might be, only when he is called, only then the number is full, and then the door is closed, and the trump shall sound. May God also today bless all who are now listening, also in South America, North America, really in Europe, and all over the world. The divine message is always addressed to the people of God all over the earth. In the past 50 years, especially in particular in the last 34 years, it's ago since we are standing at this pulpit and preaching the Word of God. And God, really, He has given much grace to it. We went through difficult trials, and God, time and again, He helped us. Nothing harmed us. Everything brought us closer to the Lord. Even that, what the enemy tried to destroy, finally, at the end, it was good to us. And this remark I would like to make here now. Because Brother Branham had this unfailable prophetic ministry, and as we have written it in the last circular letter, 1,615 times he could say, "Thus saith the Lord." And he always saw a vision. And to this, God has showed him and told him and revealed him what he should tell the certain person. And what was really impressive was when he mentioned the names of the people he mentioned, which he has never seen before, which he has never spoken to before, then suddenly he said, he mentioned the name. And the people, of course, they were all astonished. They were overwhelmed. And please forgive me. Forgive me this one remark now. But in the last part of the 70s, in our midst, time and again, it happened, not only the thus says the Lord, but all were mentioned, all were called by name, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. And to be honest now, we were under the impression that we, similar to Brother Branham, that here is a gift at work, without knowing that the cunningness and craftiness was behind it, without knowing that the enemy has his hand in the game, until it was manifested. And this is the great lesson which we had to learn. And afterward, I of course was reading what Brother Branham said about the gift of prophecy. Firstly, that no prophecy can be received in the assembly, in the church, except it was proved by three brothers, and at least by two brothers it was confirmed. And then he comes to the main point, and he says, if I, for instance, would tell you, Brother Orman Neville has told me this and that, then he must have told me this before. Then I must have heard it before. Otherwise, I could never say this and that Brother Neville has told me. Of course, then my and our eyes were opened, that here nothing was heard, but here just things were hanging in the air, for what reason whatsoever, I don't know. Then some brother told me, Brother Frank, I have the impression this could have been the last circular letter. Then I just said, the last circular letter, what concerns the past period, only what concerns the past period. We are looking forward that God will do great things. And I want to look at it today, together with you. Namely, to that what we heard already in Salzburg last Saturday, and what we heard and looked at last Sunday in Zurich. Just to go a bit deeper into it, of what it is actually all about today. And to this, let me read from Psalm 149. Psalm 149, the verses 4, 5, and 6. Psalm 149, verse 4, 5, and 6. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let us expect it today. Verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. A two-edged sword in their hand. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. What the heart is full, that the mouth flows over. Now, the other words from Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse 11 and 12. Psalm 33, verse 11 and 12. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. From 1 Peter, chapter 1, we read a couple of verses. 1 Peter, chapter 1, from verse 13. Please, dear brothers and sisters, don't be discouraged. God has given us the grace to believe now as the Scripture really says it. And we have the promises in us, received them, and we know that God will fulfill them. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be offered unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What a tremendous word. Then, verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conduct. And then comes the obedience. In verse 22, we read on. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Also, this must happen with us and in us all. Obedience is important. The same important is the love to one another and the love of the brethren. Then we come to verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Let us look up straight Luke chapter 1.
noch einmal auf und schauen wir uns an,
and let us look
was damals
to what happened at that time.
Und vergegenwärtigen wir
and let us consider
das, was am
that that, what happened at the beginning of the new covenant,
mit dem Erlöser geschah,
what happened with the Redeemer,
mit ihm Erfüllung fand,
what was fulfilled
alles,
in him,
was
namely everything
wurde,
what was prophesied,
so
that's how it is happening now, with the redeemed.
Damals
at that time, with the bridegroom, and now with the bride. Let me read from the sermons of Brother Branham, part 1 and part 2. Let me just read two passages.
When God sein Wort, when God und sein Wort eins werden,
when God and His Word are becoming one, that means when the Spirit of God makes the seed and waters the seed and word of life, then God will come forth. God will be manifested. It is Him who works it in the individuals. It is God who does it in us. We are dead. Ye are dead. And you are not living anymore. You are considering yourself as being dead, as empty. And you are waiting unto the seed, for the seed, for the germ of life. What is it then? It's not you anymore. It's not anymore the man. It's God in the man, working in the man. It is the germ of life as the spoken word at the beginning. When the word of God has been manifested in a man, then it is not the man anymore, because the man has died. It cannot be at the same time. It cannot be a mixing at the same time. It cannot be a son and a man at the same time. Either you are dead or you are alive. If you are a son of death, then you are left over to the enemy. But if ye are a son of God, then you are committed unto God, and then surrender to God in that very moment. Then the devil flees from you, and the Lord comforts you, and He leads you on.
Then,
from the next sermon, which is well known to all of us, I read it because it's referred to Luke chapter 1. But God out of the small flock of the true word seed, He will present Himself a beloved bride, a virgin of His word.
Wenn ihr oder von ihr und durch sie wird alles,
through her, everything will be fulfilled. What is written and promised in His word for the virgins. No creeds they know, no dogmas. They know only the word of promise. He Himself will be in her as He was in Mary. God is manifesting Himself according to His own word of promise. He will act to fulfill all things what is written of Him, as he did it, when he was born through the womb of a virgin. Everything is fulfillment. As he came through the womb of a virgin, this was a shadow to the spiritual womb of the church. In the same way, the virgin will now receive his word and will say, "Be it unto me as you have said." See, what kind of harmony. Jesus did nothing than what he has been shown by the Father. It was in harmony between God and Christ. That's how it will also be with the bride. He shows her his word of life. He shows it to her, and she receives it. She doesn't doubt it. Now the three lines here. The word and mind of Christ are in the bride. By this she knows what he wants to do through his word, and she does it in his name, because she has the thus saith the Lord. Let us read now the powerful word. Firstly, because before we go to Luke 1, let us go to 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, very well known to all of us. But with it was written in seriousness at that time, but also it is written for our time. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, from verse 2. 2 Corinthians 11, from verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Here we have the goal of the proclamation, the goal of the true bride church. Which is presented to Christ as a chaste virgin. Then we all know what is written in verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his craftiness, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And then comes, of course, that what happens when the enemy draws to the evil. Verse 4. For if someone comes along and preaches another Jesus unto you, we have compared it. The one is a commission. A commission connected with the plan of salvation of our God. The other one are people who are just coming along without having been sent. And brothers and sisters, this I'm not saying because of criticism. This I say with great pain in my heart. Many years have passed from 66 up to 79, where nobody came on the scene, where nobody was making international missionary trips, where all remained where they were before. And up to this time, there was the unity in the church worldwide. Worldwide, there was divine harmony, no strange doctrines. Nobody was coming along to present his own opinions or his own doctrines, but it went from country to country and from city to city, and I carried the word of the Lord. Not one single interpretation I brought, but only the clear and true word of God. But then really a time set in where men came up who just came along, and if one would call them after their calling, after their commission, then they would be silent. The next comparison is now here in Philippians, where Paul once again refers to it. And brothers and sisters, I don't say it out of criticism, but I say it with the pain in my heart. It is a catastrophical situation within the circles of those who believe to present the end time message. Philippians chapter 1, verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Now tell me now, what makes a man to preach Christ outwardly only out of envy, out of strife, out of knowing everything better? What kind of sense would this have? Then, verse 17, but the other of love,
nicht in lauterer Absicht, sondern in der Meinung, dass sie mir
the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. And if you would ask all, if you would ask every single brother who presents a thunder doctrine or some special revelation, if you would ask him, brother, put now your hand on your heart and just say what you would also say at the last judgment. Please tell us the truth. Out of what reason are you preaching this and that? Out of what reason? And if then the gentlemen are honest, then they most certainly would mention a name. Yes. They would mention a name. Yes. Yes. Let us come to Luke now, chapter
1.
Here we have Mary.
And I vergleiche jetzt mal einfach Maria,
and I'm comparing now Mary with the wise virgin, with all the wise virgins in Matthew 25. And I'm daring to say, I dare to say, that the wise virgins, as Mary, do not receive any interpretation, not any strange seed, that they don't take anything into themselves, except it is God's holy word as it is left to us in this book. Here we have some wonderful verses and thoughts. Verse 26 and 27 reports us that the angel Gabriel was sent from God and was delivering a message what should happen now. And brothers and sisters, I want now that you for one moment, just please, for one moment, that you understand now what has happened here now. Everything what referred to our Lord and Redeemer was fulfilled in one moment, on one day. Genesis 3, verse 15 was being fulfilled, that the seed of God would come through the woman to bruise the head of the serpent. Psalm 2, verse 7 was being fulfilled on that very day, at that very hour. This is, yes, Psalm 2, verse 7, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. Let us read it, so that we have it precisely. Of what is about today is that we understand, in that moment, where God makes history, then everything is being fulfilled in the bride church, in our time. Psalm 2, verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Here we have the day. Here we have the precise description. Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And that what will be born of thee comes through by the Holy Spirit and shall be called the Son of God. So that what is written in Psalm 2, listen to verse 8 now. Listen to verse 8 in Psalm 2. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou art my son. Today I have begotten thee. Here we have, in Luke 1, the fulfillment of all these promises from the Old Testament. Psalm 22, verse 10. You have laid me into my mother's womb. Here it happened. Here God did it. You have laid me into my mother's womb. Here we have the transition from the prophecy into the fulfillment. And this we have to understand for our time now. It is now the transition from the prophecy into the fulfillment. And then happens that what is written. In the same way, Isaiah 7, verse 14, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. All these scriptures have found their fulfillment, brothers and sisters. That's how it started, with the Redeemer. And that's how it ends, with the redeemed. Every promise has become a reality. He was the seed of God who has come to bruise the head of the serpent. He was the fulfillment of Psalm 2, verse 7. Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. He was the fulfillment of Psalm 22, verse 10. You have laid me into my mother's womb. there the promise, the prophecy, and then in the summary, everything was fulfilled. Divine reality, it has become. And if we go on in the New Testament, then of course everything happened. In fact, everything as God has foretold it. Just take the ministry of our Lord, Isaiah 35. Verse 5 and 6. The blind shall see, the lame shall walk. Every promise was fulfilled and came to fulfillment up to the ascension of our Lord and Redeemer. And then up to the beginning of the New Testament church, to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where Peter could say, this is that what God has spoken through the prophet Joel. Let us read quickly before we come to our time as the church, which is being called out now. Let us read quickly here in Luke 1, verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. What do we have here? The supernatural working of God. The angel Gabriel comes down, gives the announcement, and everything what was promised came to fulfillment. When Brother Branham speaks about that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, as he could describe his statue from the head to toe, he could describe his weight, everything. Here we have to know that God is at work, that not a man came up with a thought to do this and that. No, that God was about to fulfill the word of prophecy, to fulfill the promises. And then, hail thou that are highly favored. If we are pardoned once, if we are highly favored, then we will hear the divine message and we will have part in that what God is doing right now. Let us read verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And then the description is being told here in detail. And then comes verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And this is also very important in this connection. No scribe, no Pharisee, nobody was there, no strange seed, no interpretation, but the word of God connected with the promises which God has given. And behold, we read on her question, I know not a man. How shall this be? How can I bear a son? Verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that Holy which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Shall I read you now the places which are now describing us as a seed? Let us read from Psalms. Let us read from Psalms 22, verse 31 and 32. Psalm 22,
verse
Verse 30 and 31. A seed shall serve him. He, the seed in the singular, now referred to us, his seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. And now it comes very powerful. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he has done this. His seed shall serve him. And the people that shall be born, Mary should and has borne the Son. The Word, the seed, became flesh and dwelt among us. His seed shall serve him unto a people that shall be born. Psalm 89. Here it says, let us read from verse 3. Psalm 89 from verse 3.
Denn du, Herr, hast verheißen, auf ewig soll der Gnadenbund.
For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Brothers and sisters, as already said, at that time it was about that all the prophecies which were referring to the Redeemer, that they found their fulfillment. And this happened because a virgin made herself available to God. She was ordained for that. And she said, I am the maid, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me as you have said. Now God seeks the wise virgins which can say the same thing. I know not of any man. I know not of any preacher. I know not of any single man. I know of nobody. I only know that my Redeemer liveth. And let us say it freely and openly. Where is today? Where is today put the kernel of the proclamation upon the lampstand? All are getting lost in their own interpretations and are referring to the prophet. And the things which they claim, they cannot refer to God and His Word. And therefore, at this place, time and again, it has to be emphasized. Only for that, what is written in the Word, only for that, God has taken the responsibility. For instance, I was looking it up. 125 times Brother Branham referred to Zechariah 14, verse 7. In all his sermons, there shall be light in the evening time. And if we then understand how important this word of prophecy is, that really at the evening before the midnight hour strikes and before the day of salvation comes to its end, that God would once again have mercy. But this doesn't annul that what is written in the prophet Zechariah. That what is written in Zechariah 14 will also be literally be fulfilled when the Lord puts His feet upon the Mount of Olives, and when the Mount of Olives splits into two, everything is described very clearly. But in the very, in the sermons, just to show the people, people listen now, before the midnight hour strikes, God has given a promise, a word of prophecy. It can also be referred to Israel, and it can also be referred to the church. There shall be light in the evening time. And then he might have thought about 2 Peter 2, 2 Peter 1. We have a more sure word of prophecy which shines as a bright light in a dark place. But nobody can claim, nobody can say that now Zechariah 14 has been fulfilled already. The same it is with all the other subjects, which were just taken out of context, without having the right understanding for that what is written and for that what was said. And therefore we see how necessary it is that everything is placed biblically, what applies to the church, what has to be placed there, this belongs to her, what is ordained for Israel, this belongs to Israel. It just has to be placed there where it belongs. Now, the thought still of Matthew 25. We all, of course, know about it. The wise virgins, in comparison to Mary, the virgin, which didn't know of any man, which was waiting, which was ordained by God, that she is the chosen one, the chosen vessel, so that the seed could come to finish and bring the redemption. Brothers and sisters, that's how it is today with us. Not living in a fantasy world and putting some things into the air. No, following the scriptures and just seeing, and I repeat myself here, on that day, really, Genesis 3:15 was fulfilled. It was not anymore just a prophecy, not a promise. It happened. Psalm 2 verse 7, it happened. Psalm 22 verse 10, it happened. Isaiah 7 verse 14, it has taken place. Everything what was foretold in reference to the birth of the Redeemer was fulfilled in all its summary. And then we could still mention a number of scriptures. Now, my question. Before the return of Jesus Christ, the message went forth. For what purpose? For the calling out, so that everything is corrected, so that everything is put back into its original condition. And now, we are coming to the point now. All the others, they will hear it, but they will not experience it. But the wise virgins, they will hear it, they will believe it, and they will experience it. And at the end, it will be manifested who really found grace in the sight of God. It's because on one side, there can be made just a claim, and on the other side, the claim has to coincide with the Word. We have to find ourselves in the fulfillment of the Scripture, in the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. We have to find ourselves. This is given to the wise virgins. And no man needs to interpret Matthew 25. No man at all. Not a single word needs to be interpreted. Nobody needs to explain us what is the midnight cry. Let us remember that the Scripture is being fulfilled before our very eyes, that the last message has went forth, the calling out, the preparation, the correction, everything is going on in those who are part of the bride church. Excuse me? And nobody, I dare to say, nobody who belongs to the wise virgins will somewhere get lost and will somehow follow any man who puts up now and who spreads now some doctrines which are not in line with the Bible, which cannot be proved with the Bible. I believe that the true virgins in Matthew 25, they are described there, pure. They remain pure before God. They don't commit any spiritual fornication. We all know who is described as the great whore, which is committing fornication with all the kings of the earth and so forth. This is the one thing. But the bride of the Lamb was separated. She doesn't commit fornication with any denomination. She doesn't commit fornication with anyone. She is open for the Word. Only for the Word. And this distinguishes us really from all the others. In John 14, we have, of course, the promise, I go to prepare the place for you. And the same way, we have it in Matthew 25:10. Those who were ready went in to the marriage supper, and the door was closed. One more important thought now. God didn't mingle in with any religion. All can do what they like. He didn't mingle with any church. One never has heard that God has somehow knocked at the door in Rome and he would say, this is what you are doing there is not right. No. Did he ever tell the Anglican Church? Did he ever speak to anyone and say, don't do that? No. He also doesn't want that somebody wants to correct him. He has alone the say-so in his church and nobody else. That really no natural seed is being received. And no strange seed is being received. You all know how it is. I was asking here that a picture is brought to me here of the two different sowers. Recently we had it here, this picture. Matthew 13, the Son of Man sows the good seed. And the good seed, these are the children of the kingdom of God. And then somebody comes along behind him, and then he sows the seed of... He sows the seed onto the same field. And then he makes himself away. And behold, both things are coming up. That's how it is with every interpretation. And this I have to say until the end. Every interpretation is of the enemy. And if Paul has written here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that he was fearing that the enemy would deceive and beguile as it happened with Eve. So we time and again have to emphasize here and say, keep your hearts pure. Receive God's word and everything else, may it bypass you so that you are really not listening to anything, that you're not receiving anything than only the pure divine word seed. To this, many scriptures could be read also from the Old Testament, how God was taking care of that everything had to be done according to his word. All the prophets, all the men of God did everything as God commanded them to do. In our days, God used Brother Branham in a very special way. He really, about the doctrine about the Godhead, he had to put it upon the lampstand. And he just had to say, as God said it in the Old Testament, it was written down. Where is it? Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Here the Hebrew word echad is written. Echad. One, unique. One, not two or three. One single God. Today I brought with me the mezuzah. The mezuzah. As all the Jews, every Israelite has it at his doorpost, at the right doorpost. He has Deuteronomy chapter 6, the verses, let me look it up, so that we have it precisely as it is written. And this statement of faith, it's called Shema Israel. They had to carry it on their forehead, on their hand. Let me read it here from Deuteronomy chapter 6, from verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. These verses, which we just read now, are here. And for every Israel, in every hotel, in every house, on the right doorpost, on that doorpost, if one enters. And we understood that God didn't become more, but that God revealed Himself as our Father in heaven. And that He made the new beginning, and that He has given to give the adoption of sons. But He remained one and the same God throughout all eternity. He who likes to look it up precisely, he can read it up in church history. Only at the time of Constantine, the idea came up of three divine persons, and under Theodosius they made a creed out of it. What have we as Bible-believing people, what have we to do with a dogma? What have we to do with that? What was declared in the 4th century? And brothers and sisters, it is absolutely necessary not only to come out of Babylon, but that Babylon is being taken out from us. Everything must be removed from us. What doesn't come from God, this also doesn't lead to Him. And therefore, a full restoration, everything has to be brought back to the origin. The same applies for the baptism. There's really not a single act in the Holy Scripture, which has been done in the three titles, not one single one. Again, a misunderstanding. And believe it, believe me, in all of Christianity, everything is built upon misunderstandings. And the same happened within the end time message. Because there is no revelation of the Holy Spirit. And whoever has the revelation, he goes from one scripture to the other scripture. He goes from Matthew 28 to Mark 16, and from Mark 16 he goes to Luke 24, and from Luke 24 he goes to John 20, and then he goes to the book of Acts chapter 2 and 8 and all the other places to see in what kind of way The Spirit of God was leading. Brothers and sisters, let us summarize of what it is about today in this service. It is about that at the end of the time of grace, in the bride of the Lamb, in the wise virgins, that every promise becomes a divine reality. That all of Bible prophecy, everything what was foretold unto us, that it finds fulfillment now. And this has to be our attitude. Now, one question. Had Mary to make some efforts when the angel told her, you are highly favored? No, everything was well. You have found grace in the sight of God. Brothers and sisters, whoever finds grace in the sight of God, to him God reveals his word, the promise. In fact, everything, it just belongs to it. It's of course not enough that we just read in Exodus 33, if I found grace in thy sight, then let me know thy ways. No! Finding grace in the sight of God means to experience the fulfillment of Bible promises personally. And this is the part of the wise virgins, which are making up the bride church, which is now thought from God to us. Not only what is happening in the world, not only what is happening politically, religiously, no, but as Mary, be it unto me as you have said. The promises which were given, they are becoming reality. And as sure as God fulfilled the first promise, behold, I send you the prophet Elijah. And just let me say this here. It just comes to my thought now. Everything. All who believe with all their heart, without effort, all who can believe that God in our time has fulfilled the word of prophecy from the prophet Malachi, that he, at the end of the time of grace, before the great and terrible day of the Lord breaks forth, that he would send a prophet, and with this sending a prophetic ministry. And I tell you, if you can believe this with all your heart, then to you has been given the access to all the other promises and their fulfillment by his grace. Because the one connects with the other. The one belongs to the other. Be it unto me as you have said. The Lord God, may he help us. May he bless us. I wished I could bring it across as it is in my heart. May God bless all the translators. May God bless in all peoples, tongues and nations. May God bless all over the earth. Have we understood this? What's all about? Have we found grace in the sight of God? Be it unto me as you have said. And then one thing after the other happens, one after the other. The same it is now. Finding grace in the sight of God. Having part in every fulfillment of the promises, having part in them by his grace. Brothers and sisters, We don't have the program of any man. We have the divine program of the plan of salvation, the counsel of God, which is now being proclaimed. And to this belong all the promises, up to the changing of our bodies, up to the rapture, up to the marriage supper. We will experience all this by His grace. Please believe it. And then thank God for it. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us thank the Lord God. Let us sing the chorus, "Just as I am." Brothers and sisters, before we sing again, let us bow our heads. Let us open our hearts. Let us remain in silent prayer before God. Perhaps some are in our midst who cannot yet believe as the scripture says. Perhaps there are some, beginning with the young people up into the old age, who have not yet dedicated their lives to God. Perhaps there are others here who have problems to believe, who don't even think it to be necessary that one has to believe every promise first before it can come to its fulfillment. Abraham believed God and he saw the promise fulfilled. The same it is with us. First comes the proclamation. And the faith comes by the word. It comes by the preaching of the word. And then we are led to its fulfillment. We have the best example before our eyes of Mary. She believed. And behold, God made the beginning of the plan of salvation. The Redeemer came to us. He became man to die on the cross of Calvary, to shed His blood, giving His life, giving the redemption, to give sons unto God by the blood of the Lamb. In the Old Testament, it was announced when He will give His life as an atonement, then He will see His seed and prolong His days. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Brothers and sisters, He has given His life. He has shed His blood. The redemption has happened. We may experience the justification by faith, the forgiveness and the reconciliation. And therefore, we are addressing to all who are somehow maybe bound, who have not made their decision yet fully for the Lord, who have not yet experienced a conversion, who have not received assurance of being saved. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, it has to take place with us. It has to take place with us because Thus it is written in the Gospel of John, in chapter 3, what is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is being born of the Spirit, that is Spirit. As the Spirit came down, and as the Word, the seed, was laid into the bosom, and as the Son of God was born, so the Word as a seed is laid into us, and the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and we are being born again unto a living hope by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, as nobody looks around, let me ask whether some would like to raise their hands to dedicate their lives to God, or whatever your request, your petition might be. Thank you. God sees all the hands, and God sees all the hearts. Let us sing it once again. Just as I am. Dear Lord and Savior, we have the promise, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Him you will give peace for his soul. Precious Lord, today we are coming with everything, with everyone who has a request, be it the salvation of the soul, be it the healing of the body, be it the deliverance of the powers of darkness, of some kind of bad habits which want to follow us. Beloved Lord, it is written, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we pray you, we ask you today, may the victory of Calvary be manifested. Save, heal, deliver, and give revelation, give the access into the Holy of Holies, so that your word might be revealed to us by your grace. Precious Lord, bless us at this place. Bless all over the earth, in all peoples, tongues, and nations. We thank you that the pure word, the pure precious seed was sown and is continued to being sown. And we ask you, give not only 30-fold or 60-fold, but give 100-fold fruit. Give faith in all our hearts. And we ask now, in your wonderful name of Jesus, that your bride church is not being harmed of any influence of the enemy, that nobody comes along and preaches some things. No, but that Jesus Christ, the crucified one, the risen one, the returning one, is being preached. Dear Lord, have thine own way with your people, as you had it with Mary, so also with us, with all the wise virgins in this time, that we are not being left behind, but that we are ready to go into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Dear Lord, do it by the power of your blood, of your word, and of your spirit. And we thank thee with all our hearts for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let us sing, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy. And all the people said, Amen.
Amen.
How many believe as the scripture says?
Amen.
Amen. And we will experience the fulfillment of all that what God promised. It will happen. As it is written at the end of Joshua, not one single promise remained unfulfilled of all the promises of God. Just rejoice. Children of promise are believing the word of promise. And they see the promises being fulfilled. Please believe. Believe. Don't dishonor God by unbelief. Believe the Lord. He will take care of it. That everything happens. Whatever he promised. Who says a chorus? I love him. I love him. Amen.
Noch einmal in Englisch. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
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 Each one is shaking hands with each one. Until tomorrow, the Lord willing.